That's what started this. That's what started this whole thing.
Okay, okay. You see it back in here as well?
So what you just heard there is one of the protests against Chaz getting shut down. I think that was a Wednesday this week, July 1st, I believe. They cleared everyone out at about 5 in the morning and got done sweeping through in about 30 minutes. But we'll get to that in a second. But this was maybe halfway through the day. There were various protests at a couple of crosswalks surrounding the area. And it was this particular area was completely peaceful. Actually, all of them were totally peaceful up until this point. And they weren't blocking traffic. They were just blocking off like one of the crosswalks. But so it wasn't like a huge deal. And there were maybe like 20, 25 people just hanging out. And then all of a sudden, you get 20 bike cops chasing down one particular individual, like the lieutenant or whatever, pointed at one person, and that person took off and ran. Wasn't violent or anything, just ran. He tripped, and then he got up, and then he got tackled to the ground, just like a hard tackle. And for almost a minute, the officer had his knee on the back of his neck as he was being arrested. And this is exactly what started the whole fucking thing over a month ago, was the exact same maneuver. It's just, they're not trained to do it, but they still do it anyways, so they don't give a fuck. And it just went from completely calm and peaceful to just like instantly, you know, someone has their fucking health at risk. Now the guy is okay and whatever, but the supposed crime he was guilty of was a pedestrian violation for blocking a crosswalk. Now I was watching the live stream when this happened, and the person recording kind of talked to the lieutenant afterwards, and the lieutenant said, yeah, we're giving people one warning, and then you know, to get out of the crosswalk or street or whatever, and then we're gonna start arresting people. They didn't give him a warning. They just walked out behind the lines and chased him down with 20 fucking bike cops and pointed at him and said, hey, go get him.
And pinned him down on the pavement using the same maneuver or restraining hold that, you know, as you said, started all this off. And it's just like, how can you be a cop and not realize that cameras are everywhere on you right now, especially in Chaz, Chop, whatever they're calling it. Like, you knew as a cop going in there that all eyes were going to be on you, and to do the same restraining hold that killed George Floyd and kicked off these protests is just like, it just shows you, as you said, they don't care. They don't give a fuck.
They don't. I mean, of course, this isn't like the first time it happened, but it just boggles my mind that it's been over a month and they're still doing it.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah, it's just I don't get it. I don't fucking, you know, body cameras are great and everything, assuming the police have them turned on and everything. But as, you know, people across the country have been saying, like, even if they have body cameras, doesn't guarantee they're not going to pull this shit. Because they still have the power to do it.
Yeah, they have the authority, even in a perfect world where body cameras stay functional and stay within view, they know that they have immunity. They know that their fellow cops have their back. They know that the entire legal system has their back. And they're just going to do it. That's simple as that is. there seems to be no consequences. We still don't know the consequences of George Floyd, Floyd's murderer, Breonna Taylor's cops. They're still out. They may not have jobs, but they're still out. So it's just like it shows you little consequences of it. And I'm personally scared of what happens at the end of all this, of with all these cops that are supposedly going to be held accountable. Will they be held accountable?
That's the big question. I actually had this written down later, but I'll mention it now since we're talking about justice. The cop who killed Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta, Georgia, is actually being charged somehow, which is great. I guess he's getting, what is it? Where did I have it? Anyways, he's got like 10 years. No, sorry. Faces life in prison for felony murder and 10 other charges with a $500K bail. And they issued the bail because apparently he has like ties to the community, so they don't think he's going to run away or anything. So at least there's like the one person, but again, this is like a breadcrumb in the grand scheme of things.
And it's still early before he goes to a jury of his own peers. And history's been notorious for during these trials of letting the cops off.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. But back to Chaz, it's just like the emergency order was signed at 2 a.m. and immediately they started around 5 a.m., as you said, dragging tents and dragging them around as if people were inside. Quote right there, of all reasonable efforts were made by the city departments to assist individuals in accessing necessary services, shelter, or transportation, and packing or storing any personal property, including tents. The city shall take reasonable steps to separate personal property from material that is not personal property, provided the segregation does not pose a danger to the individual segregating the personal property from the other material. And so people are not sure they're going to get their shit back. Like I saw like a dumpster of police putting just get away, like some yellow stickers for inventory, but most of the shit was going in dumpsters. And you saw a reporter when they asked the police, they said that will there be a way to claim stuff, and said the cop responded, most of it's just trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of it's just trash. There was even one cop who was spotted by the protesters who was taking a laptop and I think it was a harmonica off of the street somewhere. And he was throwing it into the back of a car and protesters like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And he basically said, oh, I thought it was trash, so I was just going to throw it away. It's like, no, you're not doing it. You're trying to steal a fucking laptop, dude.
Yeah, you're trying to lift a laptop.
Yeah, there's that abuse of power right there. And one of the big issues is that assuming all of this, you know, stuff thrown into dumpsters, is actually going to get inventoried somewhere. Assuming that's even the case, the police did say that in order to claim the property, the person has to show ID of who they are. And one of the big concerns is that, well, the Seattle police hasn't officially granted amnesty to protesters yet. So it's kind of like, well, if you go and try to claim your shit, they can potentially arrest you. So that's an unanswered question if they're going to get amnesty or not.
Yeah, and I'm leaning on no. But it's just like the entire Chaz Chop saga, you know, and like my thoughts on it is I think it's an inspiration, but I also think it's a warning. And like, I'll just explain it. How it started off was very radical. You had people making barricades. You had people taking over like the police precinct, and you had, you know, people that just like that were more on the end of direct action, of willing to, you know, or risk it to set up the Chaz Chop area. And I feel that the problem later, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it got sanitized by your more casual liberal. And I think that was the beginning of the end to me, was it went from kind of being a radical approach to being kind of a sanitized version of how it started. And that's going to be, in my opinion, issues that we'll have to talk about in the future if more direct action such as Chaz happens again, is making sure it will not be completely co-opted and sanitized by your more mainstream Democrat or progressive, have you, whatever.
Yeah.
And like these other autonomous zones that have been set up in the country, there's not that many, but they don't have the same radical approach that Chaz had when it first started. And it's become more of drum circles and occupation of, like, I went to one of them, and let's just put it this way. They had people signing up people to vote and encouraging them to vote for Biden. And I'm like, that's well and good, harm reduction or whatever, however you justify that. It's just,
it's not the main how this shouldn't be.
It's not the point. And that needs to be discussed, is if this happens again, if we ever get to the point where somebody sets up another autonomous zone, it should be more of taking a stand rather than liberals kind of just being like, oh, we're going to use it as a protest and sign people up to vote. That's just my opinion, and some people can think I'm wrong on that, and that's fair. But I think that that will be an issue. It was the same issue with Occupy Wall Street that kind of got sanitized by liberals as well, and kind of hollowed out, if you will, of being what it stood for to becoming a more along the lines liberal apparatus, a democratic apparatus. And a good point of that is Occupy Democrats, which I could go on for about hours, but in the meaning of time, let's skip that part.
Yeah, I guess to touch on that, because, you know, I didn't really think about the sanitization of Chaz Chop or whatever. I didn't really think about that too much while it was happening. I was just kind of like, I was so focused on everything else going on, I didn't really pay attention as much as I really wanted to. But
I kept checking it daily, and I kept on seeing it becoming a little more the brunch crowd, so to speak, the I'd rather be at brunch than direct action. And I was like, oh shit, God, it's over.
Yeah. On one hand, yeah, this is always going to be an issue to deal with. And to me, my initial thought was like, this sounds like a counter-revolutionary thing, where the counter-revolutionaries infiltrate like an actual revolutionary movement and then sanitize it and then very subtly flip it around to go back in the opposite direction to either something new or to whatever the status quo was before. Now, in this case, this isn't like a revolution yet. These are more, because we're not in a fucking revolution yet. We still have so long to go for that. We have a lot of work to do. But regardless of how the revolution looks like, this feels like a trial run to me. And there are lessons that, you know, we got to learn from what happened to Chaz into the evolution of Chop, and see what happened, and you know, do an analysis on everything and learn from those mistakes and get better going forward as you know, if we decide to set up more autonomous zones in other places. At the same time, it's like kind of a delicate balance, right? Because liberals are our closest allies on the political spectrum. They are much more easy to convert than MAGAtards. I would think. Yeah. Not saying that all Magatards are like, sorry, I'm being like a little bit abrasive. This week I just have no fucks left, so apologies. Apologies if I'm offending, or, you know, but if you're just a diehard Trump fan, like, there's less of a chance you're going to come over to the left than like an average liberal who just wants to feel comfortable with everything, but they like still kind of want to feel good about themselves because they care about the right things. But there are Trump fans that can convert over because populism is a huge thing right now. So it's just kind of a delicate balance to figure out how to keep everything on the right track while casting a broad net to bring in, you know, just the average person who's just getting into politics, or that we just need allies, really.
Well, to fix this country. I agree that we do need allies, and you're right. I'm going to most likely find more in common with your average liberal than I am somebody that's sporting the MAGA hat. Like, I'm not taking that away at all. But to me, a lot of them do not want to be radicalized. They are completely complacent of... Let me put it to you this way. How I started feeling about Chaz at the end is how I felt about the Women's March, where it became more of a, I'm going to take Instagram pictures of this rather than contribute. I'm going to grab my pink hat and act like I'm making a difference and act like I'm resisting. And that's the problem I have with these movements, is that there's very little direct action other than, you know, trying to impress their friends of being like, I'm woke, or I'm enlightened, or I stand with these people. But at the end of the day, do they, or is it like sincere, or is it just because they think that that is the right thing to do? And I see so much passive activism in like the liberals, of just like, compared to the right, at least, of like the right Tea Party rallies, the anti-lockdown rallies, any kind of movement, they mobilize, they get out, and they will just fuck shit up, raising hell about whatever they think is their slight towards them that week. And I don't think liberals have the same have it in them like the conservatives do, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that it's just my disliking for a lot of things I see on the liberals that, you know, maybe give me a harsher look on them. But my personal experience is that the conservatives, especially the hardcore ones, are willing to rally and show action, whether I agree with it or not, more than the liberal is.
I think I agree with that, unfortunately, but I think I agree with that assessment. The Republican or conservatives just in general have much stronger convictions.
Yes.
Than the average Democrat. And that's kind of the big problem with the Democrats that we and so many other people have been pointing out, especially with the fucking DNC primaries, is because you've got Bernie over here, like, only, you know, Bernie had to play it perfectly, but he did about as good as he could possibly do. And the mainstream Democrats still won because they have the establishment behind them, but they shouldn't have, because they stand for nothing at the end of the day. They don't have any real convictions other than like this moral, like being morally lucky, right? Some of them happen to believe in the right things because those are the right things, or at least the more humane things. I don't know if you want to get to the whole right and wrong dichotomy, but whatever. Instead of like arriving at those beliefs through rigorous like self-reflection and analysis and conviction, which the conservatives have that conviction, maybe not so much the self-analysis, but they have the conviction. I don't know. It's It's how do you, you know, I guess the question is, how do you get the liberal to actually to commit to some kind of belief system and then to change their mind about anything?
Well, in my opinion on this, like a lot of the ones that are dead set in their way, especially the ones that, you know, supported more moderate candidates like Joe Biden, for instance, I'm not sure that they have it in them, but like the Bernie people of are more willing to me and more open to reading new ideas and leftist theory of, and that's different variety all over the place, and that's a subject for another show because once again it would take forever, but they seem more inclined to join a side of being more on the radical end of leftism than the average Joe Biden voter. And that's part of the reason why I supported Sanders, is because I saw that his supporters were more sympathetic to ideas that I had, maybe not all of them, and maybe a little more government than I would like. But when it came to just, you know, helping other people and, you know, questioning the entire system of capitalism, that they seemed more inclined to be like, no, this system's fucked up. And I don't see that with older Democrats or people who have strong neoliberal views. I don't see them opening their eyes to the problem of capitalism and how it is failing so many in this society, because I feel like they watch MSNBC all day and they read the Washington Post, and it's just all just like focusing on, oh, Trump this, Trump bad, orange man bad, gotta stop orange man no matter what the cost. And people that vote for Bernie are more just like, no, the economy is unfair, we need health care, we need economic equality, we need social equality, we need all of these things, rather than fixating on a tangible bad person, like a villain, so to speak.
For sure. And I guess, like, before we move on to like COVID news, I wanted to mention that, like, Andrew Yang is like a for me, back when I started like writing politics, I just conservative politics, that is, I immediately swapped to a fucking social democrat, and I very quickly found Andrew Yang. And while Yang is still a capitalist, he's still kind of a neoliberal at heart. You know, he's a very human person, and he gives a fuck about people. But his whole UBI thing was like, you know, even if there's a couple of small ideas that people like Yang or others, maybe they latch onto one or two ideas that are not like mainstream, right? Like UBI was not seriously considered until Yang came onto the forefront. And then, you know, fast forward to 2020, like fucking everyone's talking about UBI. People, you know, even if those kind of Democrat candidates are still Democrats, still neoliberals, as long as they're like a little bit progressive, they're going to push the envelope a little bit further to the left. Mm-hmm. And I'll support them for that. You know, again, Bernie is as far left as we get as far as like a mainstream politician goes, but.
And he's not even a radical. Radical leftist. In any other country, he would just be considered a moderate.
Yep, he's a fucking moderate.
In the good old US of A, where he's a big bad Marxist devil coming coming to collect all the fucking taxes from Jeff Bezos. I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's like the big conservative narrative now, is that the Democrats are openly socialist.
I know. Yeah. And it's just, I remember I posted something on Twitter. I was just like, I can't wait for Mitt Romney to run as a Democrat in the future and be labeled a radical Marxist. And then that's God, the truth. It doesn't matter. It'll happen. It doesn't matter who the fuck you put up there. If it has a D by its name, they're going to say you're a radical leftist, socialist, Marxist, anarchist, whatever, Maoist. Because that is the main weapon that they use of just being like, oh, they're radical socialist. And it's just like, it scares like
the Red Scare 3.0.
The Red Scare 3.0. Yeah.
Did you see the, sorry to interrupt, did you see the Fox News segment with, what's his face? Something Crenshaw? The dude with the fucking eye patch?
Oh, yeah, Crenshaw. No, I did not see it, but Crenshaw's usually pretty off my radar.
Dude, I only caught it because I was watching a stream where it was covering that little clip, but oh man, hold on, I forgot the clip. The quote. I'll find it in my Twitter. I have it liked. But he butchered the anarchist shit even more.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, keep going, and I'll try to find it real quick. Yeah.
Well, let's go into a little bit of COVID news. Trump says it's okay to wear a mask now. He didn't
I have celebration.
Found it.
No, I just wanted to share that opening of my beer.
Oh, opening of the beer.
Because we can now wear masks.
Because we can now wear masks officially. I mean, my city's fucking mandated masks, so hey. But, yeah, Trump says it's okay to wear a mask, but he will not wear one. The problem with this is he's lost control of this. All his supporters aren't going to, if he would have came out in even just a month ago and been like, hey guys, wear masks, we might have stood a chance. But he let it build up, and now they are straight up, they're not going to wear a mask. Even if he was, I think even if he was to wear a mask now, they'd still be like, nope, it's hindering my freedom. On that note, because of our stupidity in this country, the European Union released a approved travel list, and we're not on it. So hope you're not planning on going to Europe, because
you might get stuck there forever.
Yeah.
Here it is. Dan Crenshaw said he called us anarcho-fascist Marxists. That is incredible.
That is a fucking amazing. Anarcho-fascist Marxist.
Yeah, it's like, let's just throw every single political ideology into a single sentence and see what happens.
See what happens, and hopefully one of them stick. And unfortunately, for the viewers of Fox News, they're probably like, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, that's legit.
That's legit. They're Marxist fascists. Oh God. Oh.
Yeah, this is the country we live in, and it makes me want to die a little bit every day.
Oh God. I'm not high enough for that.
Right? I'm almost drunk enough for it. So.
Yeah. So let's talk about the solution to COVID.
Yeah. So the what was the claim Trump made like last year, or not last year, but a couple months ago, where he wanted to like buy up the entire world, like futures or stocks or something of like the COVID-19 vaccines, and like we were just kind of laughed off the world stage. Well, guess what? Yeah. It's happening now. The U.S. has bought up 90% of Remdesivir stocks, which is the drug created by, I don't know, whatever the fuck, who cares? Gilead or something? That one. And in the process, you know, 90% of the world's stocks, it's going to leave some countries like Australia potentially without access to the drug. And what's even more ridiculous is that not only did this company get, like, I think it was $70 million in federal funding to help research and develop this drug, it is now priced at between $2,340 for Medicare insurance, and $3,120 for private insurance. And this is per person for, like, a total treatment of COVID. It's like a 5-day thing. So
yeah, six doses in 5 days.
Yeah. So $2,300 to $3,100. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, before COVID, half the country didn't have more than $400 in their fucking bank account. How are they going to afford this? And let alone, like, how many people are uninsured, mind you.
Yeah. And I think, and this is what I feared when COVID happened, is that this was just going, they were going to use every method to pillage more wealth from the average citizens. And we saw that with the CARES Act and all the money that went up top. Now they're going to profit off of you lying in a hospital bed, getting treatment for COVID, and they're going to make a fucking killing off of it.
That's right. And that doesn't even include the hospital treatment that you know.
Yeah.
For,
yeah, that's not even,
that's already expensive.
That's not even the rent for your fucking bed or the bonus feature of having a ventilator.
Right. It's just fucking, it's like these people actually just want us dead at this point. Like, it's fucking insane. I don't even know what else to say about that, because it's fucking horseshit, like, is what it is.
And that's why I'm hitting that right now. It's just like every week I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
It can't get any dumber.
It can't. Worse. But it actually just happened to get dumber and worse. For me, anyways, yesterday. Yesterday was like a breaking point for me. Because there's just a series of stupid shit that happened. You know, not to mention the fucking Chaz police officers, you know, putting the knee on the neck of that guy. But someone that I know, and I'm not going to say who. Okay, before I get into that. The Trump campaign released I think it's a new t-shirt, or maybe someone just found it all of a sudden.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
it doesn't matter. Because the t-shirt is like, if you just like go to Wikipedia and you type in the Nazi party and you look at the picture, it's like the eagle with the wings spread, and it's got like a circle with its claws grabbing onto a circle, and there's like the Nazi symbol in the center of that circle. This Trump t-shirt is the exact same fundamental design. It's just an American flag in the center of that circle.
They're not even trying anymore. They're just not.
They're not trying anymore.
They're not even trying to hide how fucking racist Nazi-like that they are. They don't care. They're open with it. And the scary thing is it could potentially work.
It could, and really it kind of does, because someone that I know who is into QAnon,
oh no.
I know. I hate everything. The defense they gave was that instead of, like, you know, doing a side-by-side comparison of, like, the t-shirt and the Nazi party symbol, like, instead of, you know, seeing it with your own eyes, quote-unquote, like they love to fucking purport that they do with everything, the defense they gave was... Holy shit, what was it? It was... People are calling Trump supporters Nazis because of a new t-shirt that the campaign is selling. It's like, number one, that's not the direct argument that's being made, although it's implied, but it's not the direct argument. It's that the two symbols are the fucking same.
Yeah, like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, they're the same. Yeah, like, if you put them next to each other, which everybody has done, and some asshole is still just like, nah, I don't see it, then they're clearly not seeing themselves, in my opinion.
Because they're either a Nazi or they don't give a fuck about, they're willing to side with Nazis, which I don't know which is worse.
Nazi.
Nazi's worse. sometimes it feels like, I don't know, sometimes it feels like the people who defend them are worse sometimes. I don't know.
The people that do the mental gymnastics and justify Nazi dog whistles that Trump does, it's nauseating. It's completely nauseating. And I think honestly, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, well, if you're defending a Nazi, you're a Nazi to me, I guess. So fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's basically indistinguishable. So whatever, may as well treat them the same for all practical purposes. Yeah, so speaking of Nazis and fascism, Trump is still continuing his... I don't remember if we covered this last week, but I'll just mention it really quick. He went to Twitter and put up some pictures of people who were vandalizing or removing, I think it was the statue, Confederate statue in Washington, D.C. that was taken down. And they were posting pictures of these people asking for, quote unquote, identification of these individuals, and that it wasn't like an official arrest warrant or anything. It was terrifying because, well, that's the implications, like, oh, go arrest these people, or better yet, to his fucking brown shirts, or as I like to call them, the red hats. Hey, you know, militia people, do what you want to these Antifa motherfuckers. Right. Yeah, 3 percenters go. It's fucking, speaking of 3 percenters, I forgot to put this on the list, but there was a counter protest against BLM in Idaho. I forget where in Idaho, but anyways, the counter protest to the BLM was actually, it looked like it was a lot bigger. It was like a couple hundred people there. And there was one part of a live stream that I was watching where this bitch recording and broadcasting it to Facebook. By the way, the Facebook page, if you want to go, if you think certain content is questionable, there are actions that you can take. The page that I found the live stream on is called the Idaho Liberty Dogs. And the woman recording and live streaming straight up said, 3% bitch, 3% motherfucker, like 3% fuck you. That was it. 3% fuck you, 3% bitch. And a little bit later, a couple minutes later, they were trying to, they're giving out, they're connecting with people who are interested in joining the 3% whatever group therapy club. So these people fucking exist, and they shouldn't, but, you know. I don't know, it's just another interesting thing I found during the protests. So whenever I get the chance to go through the live streams, it's just insane how delusional and just hate riddled these people are. Like, they can't. And actually, they just don't care about equality. I know this is a big surprise, but another part of that from that live stream was that At one point, they were chanting, you know, Blue Lives Matter or something, and they were talking about, like, well, there's not enough police. There's just not enough police. It's like, okay, whatever. That's a neutral statement. But then a couple minutes later, they said, there's not enough police. We need more police to stop this protest from going on. It's like, oh, well, there's your true colors. You don't actually support the police. You just don't want to support movement. You want to support the crush of movements that you don't agree with, and the free speech that you don't agree with. Through institutional means.
Yeah, through institutional means, because for years, it's just like I've said it before, it's just like they've been stockpiling guns under the notion that we have to stop the bad guys. That's why we have guns. And I'm just like, well, okay, well, you got all the guns already. How about no more police? And they're like, we need the police. I'm just like, because we got to stop the bad guys. I'm like, okay, it's clear that the picking and choosing, and they want to use the apparatus of the police to crush any movement that they don't agree with. And you know, I think that they've been successful utilizing law enforcement in our country to crush dissent that goes against the white patriarchal Christian values, conservative values. And that's that. It's just a means to an end to them. I don't think that they believe that. I don't think that there's any hardcore conviction of backing the badge other than backing the institution that oppresses people.
Right. And this is the, yeah, I mean, what you said is right. They, one thing that I've learned about just fascists, and I don't know, fascism is such a hard like label to give an exact definition. It's because it is deliberately incoherent and it's deliberately contradictory, because it's not interested in a well fleshed out logical framework with grounded axioms and all that philosophical shit. They'll just do whatever it takes to get them in power and to enact their fucking ethno state club. That's all they want. It's just everything is a means to an end for them. And if that means supporting the police, saying Blue Lives Matter for the time being, then they're going to do it for the time being. As long as it supports their goals. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that's just like so disturbing that, I don't know. It's kind of a question of like, well, certainly some of these people are deliberate about it, but then you see so many quote unquote sheeple that fall into these mindsets. It's like, well, is this like just a subconscious thing, or is this like, is everyone like complicit? I don't know. It's, I'm sure it's a mixture. It's just insane to think that like someone could go along with all this stuff and not like critically think about it. But then again, this is the legacy of our educational system in our in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yep. Speaking of education, poor education, Trump retweeted a video, apparently without watching it. At least that's the defense that Ben Shapiro gave.
Of course he did.
Yeah. It was someone, I don't know, some stream, some video from The Villages, which is a ultra MAGA conservative white, apparently white supremacist part of Florida. It's like a big gated off neighborhood or some crap full of a bunch of old rich white people. And one of them, you know, they're like driving their fucking golf carts around because, you know, golf, right? And one of them said, yeah, go Trump or MAGA or whatever, and then yelled out white power. And this was something that Trump retweeted, apparently without having watched it, to make sure that there wasn't anything like totally damning in it, which there was. But he later deleted it. He pretty quickly deleted it. But, you know, to me, I feel like this is just him testing the waters with to see what he can get away with. At the end of the day, with all the shit he does.
And it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And like any time go any lower, they do. And it's just impossible to me to ever rectify how conservatives like could ever get back to normal after Trump. And I don't think they do. I think they go further left. I think they go further right. And it's like that point was proven, which will lead into a segue into our next point of 43 Bush campaign officials back Biden, called 43 alumni for Biden. That just makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Go ahead. And it's just one of like, this is the thing, is that all these things that have happened since 2000 paved the way for Trump. They did. 43 campaign officials who worked for Bush, guess what? They created Trump. They created Trump with insane policies that devastated the Middle East and destabilized. Basically created a money sink for our country that just continues to blow up our deficit, along with tax cuts. And the policies of Bush, and it's just like, people can get mad at me all they want about this, but I feel like the biggest difference between Trump and Bush before the protests happened was that Trump was just louder about what he did. Bush was more quiet about it. And the fact that 43 campaign officials are backing Biden is kind of scary to me, that the Democratic Party is welcoming them with open arms of like, yeah, run your super PAC campaigns against Trump. Same thing with the Lincoln Project. These are people that have done horrendous things to Democrats by, you know, media strategies, smear tactics and stuff like that. And just now they're welcomed into the Democrat Party and cheered on. No, it's bullshit to me.
It's just it is bullshit. It's just, you know, the Democrats at this point have just completely embraced the motto that the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And they're going to stab him in the back as soon as possible.
Oh, absolutely. But they don't care, because Trump is just fucking into the world for them.
He's the end of the world. Orange man bad.
Orange man bad indeed. It's kind of like you said, this is like a watershed moment for the Republicans and Democrats alike, to an extent, but I think more so for Republicans, because, you know, the Lincoln Project, that was definitely part of it. You know, there's going to be a collection of these things that are going to happen, but to me, this specifically with the Bush thing is like the big watershed between the conservative news outlets that decide to double down and just go with Trump all the way to the grave, or they try to stand their ground and, you know, go back to whatever Republican authority that they once had back in the Bush years before things got completely out of hand, when they started, you know, openly catering to fucking fascists, like, which happened with Trump when he came into power. It's just, I wonder how many more of these little PR stunts are going to happen, and what that division between the Republicans party is going to look like. I think that's really going to play out over the next, I think over the next 2 months is when we're going to see like the big brunt of what happens with that narrative. So I'm really curious to see. And one more little side note, just because some conservative, I say conservative, a very broad branch, but just because some right-wing news sites haven't covered this story, doesn't mean they're not doubling down on Trump all the way. So there's a lot of subcontext that goes into the shit, but, you know, I think we'll see the longer-term narrative play out over the next 1-2 months. So enough about Trump, because he's a stupid Cheeto in the dang White House. It's ridiculous.
Cheeto in the White House. Cheeto Mussolini.
Cheeto Mussolini.
Trump of thin skin.
I just like try to imagine an actual Cheeto sitting in like the White House chair.
Imagine what the next nickname Democrats are going to give Trump and think that they're so clever and they're actually resisting.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
It's just like I think that they should just change their name to Dumbledore's Army because they'll be just as effective as an imaginary fucking fictional army, in my opinion. Yes. I think that they need to give up the fucking name the Resistance because they don't do anything other than posting cringe gifs all day that I just sit there and they somehow find their way on my fucking feed. And I'm just like, wow, they thought that was a fucking dunk. And all it is just looks like a 13-year-old pieced it together. And they're just like, look at me, I'm resisting. No, you fucking moron. All you're doing is probably drinking fucking cheap Chardonnay and thinking that patting yourself on the back and getting fucking other retweets from other dumb fucking liberals. But enough about that.
Right. Really quick, though. Fucking meme that I saw. Oh, my God. I wish I could remember the exact quote. Anyways, it was like the Harry Potter text. It was a big cake. And it said, like, I solemnly swear that, like, I will fight against Trump or some shit. It wasn't fight against Trump. It was equally stupid. I won't be a racist. That's it. It was a BLM thing. That was it. I solemnly swear that I won't be a racist or some shit. Or that I'll be anti-racist. Why did Harry Potter ever have to exist?
I mean, like... like the stories aren't terrible and you know I enjoy them, but at the same time I've read more than Harry Potter and I'm starting to doubt the liberals have.
I know.
I'm just really just like, for the love of God, pick up another book. I will fucking ship you. I will send somebody. And you know what? Half the books on like leftist theory are in the public domain because they're so fucking old.
Yeah, they're like 150 years old. Like, just go read them for free.
Yeah, just you could just read them for free. They're not on. You gotta have a fucking free domain, bitch. Just read something besides Harry Potter and posting fucking cringe memes. And seriously, if the Resistance wants to change their name to Dumbledore's Army, we will gladly take back the Resistance name because maybe we can actually do something with it.
Yeah, we'll see if reappropriating the Resistance is worth it or not. But
I don't think it is, honestly, because some of them will come aboard, and I don't know.
So okay, we gotta move on. This has been going for this is on track to become the longest one so far, so the Golden State Killer was a cop. Yeah, I know, it's almost been an hour. Now this is something I didn't really know. Apparently this was like pretty much proven, but it wasn't like official until the sentencing came out a couple days ago. And yeah, the Golden State Killer was a cop, did a string of murders in the 1970s and 1980s. He's given 26 charges, and a lot of them were murders and rapes and whatever. There was actually like over 50 rapes, I don't know. I'm not going to go into details about it, but he was given 11 life sentences, so... You know, I think the big narrative that I saw a little over Twitter when this news was broken was like, the Golden State Killer was a cop. And, you know, this is just another example of one more way that cops can abuse their authorities. They can cover their tracks a lot more easily. If you've ever seen Dexter, you know, basically the same thing. but I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting. Anyways, moving on. Last bit of little news before we get into some other stuff. The Bolivia coup that started in November 2019 might be a little bit unstable at this point. Imagine Janine that. Right. Who could have thought that a military illegal coup started by the U.S., like the U.S. Cold War era agency, you know, who could have thought bad things could come from that? So Jeanine Añez, who was the quote unquote interim ruler, is attempting to reorganize the military in order to keep power. I only saw this come across my feed. I haven't like totally looked into it, but really quick with what there is. Apparently the armed forces are fighting with the UMOPAR. I'm not sure what that is. In Puerto... Okay, I'm not going to try to pronounce that fucking... We'll link to this in the show notes. Because I cannot pronunciate anything right now. The regime is urgently trying to reorganize the military with a general illegally entering the legislature in attempt to coerce the MAS majority Congress into ratifying Añez's loyal picks. And there's a picture of the order that is in Spanish, which I cannot fucking read. Yeah, so this might be good news. We'll see how this plays out. I'll try to keep an eye on things. This military coup happened over, oh god, let's see, 7, 8, 9, about 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that this is hopefully coming to an end. Just really quick for anyone who doesn't know what the Bolivia coup is. Evo Morales was a democratically elected socialist president for the past, like, I don't know, 10 years or something. He did a lot of fucking good for his country. Like, objectively speaking, he did a lot of good. And then the elections came around and the final results were delayed. The official results were delayed by like 1 or 2 hours or something, and people like lost their shit in that country after like 1 to 2 hours of election results being delayed. So a Cold War era U.S. organization who does quote unquote election monitoring released a report that basically fucking lied and said there was election fraud, which a surprise, like a couple months ago, another report said, oh, actually, there was an election fraud. But that didn't matter because the narrative was already done. The military kicked out Evo Morales and implemented and also systemically removed the line of succession from, you know, between Evo Morales and Jeanine Añez. And Jeanine Añez is a crazy fucking like Christian religious wacko fucking fascist. She literally called the indigenous population of Bolivia like devil worshippers and Satan worshippers and like, you know, witchcraft practicers. It's fucking nuts. So she's been in power for the past 9 months. So hopefully this shit fucking breaks down soon. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. It's fucking... The Bolivia coup is, like, what made me completely abandon capitalism entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess moving on real quick. Usually we do conspiracy theories. We try to debunk them. But because there's just too much going on, we did a write-up on QAnon. We won't cover it in depth on the podcast. Go check out the article on AmericanShakedown.com. It is currently the first featured article. It's called QAnon is Bad Creepypasta. And it kind of goes into depth about what QAnon is, how it came to be, and how stupid it is.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot to unpack, but...
It is a lot to unpack.
The title alone is like dumb creepypasta. And it is. It just packed all together like every single crazy conspiracy and just lumped them into one little thing behind one little letter. And it's successful because there's a lot of QAnon people out there.
There's so many. It's insane. It's like the biggest conspiracy theory of all time, it seems like.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. And I can't go a single, like, I don't think I can go 70. Some QAnon person just finding their way into my mentions on Twitter and just posting something really fucking stupid that I'm just like, okay, I just can't even, I used to respond to them and I just can't do it anymore because it's just too insane.
It is batshit insane. And I think the part that worries me the most is that it's basically mainstream conservatism at this point. It's not that far off, and that's
no, it's not
really disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So go check out QAnon and how stupid it is, and convince other people that it's stupid if you can.
Or just don't talk to them ever again.
Or don't talk to them ever again if you have the option, which unfortunately I don't.
Yeah, that's true. I have the luxury. If somebody just like tells me about, did you see the latest breadcrumbs from the latest crumbs for Q? I'm just like, you're dead to me. Goodbye. I'm not even kidding. If somebody starts spewing fucking QAnon shit to me, I'm just like automatically turn them off. I'm like, luckily I don't have any friends that have ever tried to say it, but I've had acquaintances that have tried to talk to me about QAnon, and I'm just like, well, we're never talking again. Because I just don't have patience for it.
Mm-hmm. It's too draining to fucking interact with. It really is. So, moving on to the last little bit. Regarding a couple other protests and police news, Amnesty International has reported a study that the police have violated the human rights of protesters 125 times in America between May 26th and June 5th, which is about 10 days. Which is fucking absurd. Yeah, wasn't May 26th when George Floyd? Isn't that when it happened? So,
yes, that's when things started kicking off.
Just in the first 10 days, and there have been so
much more that's happened since then.
It's ridiculous. Just another empirical demonstration that our police system needs to get fucking completely overhauled, to say the least. Defunded, abolished, whatever the fuck. It just needs to be changed. This is not okay. Speaking of not okay, there were cops and sharpshooters all in Kentucky, Louisville, recently, and still someone was able to unload, God, it must have been like 20-something shots I heard in that video.
It was a lot of shots. I'm sure some of them were coming from the cops, but the fact that somebody was able to squeeze off at least 3 to 5 shots, even if we're going at minimum, should not have happened, especially with the amount of surveillance that the cops have at every protest. Mm-hmm. Like, it should not have happened. It should have been just like, if they saw that gun come out, they should have been like, oh, like, take an action. I'm not saying shoot the person, but take an action. And the fact that it took so long that person was allowed to fire off that many shots and injure somebody and kill somebody who is a frequent protester. It's just like, it's unreal to me.
Yeah, it was the person who was killed was a reporter and the shooter was a frequent protester. I don't know. The guy clearly had some issues going up. I don't know. I'm going to end up rambling forever about shit. Yeah, just who do the police really protect? And it's clearly not the people they disagree with who challenge their power, even though it's our fucking American right to do so. Mm-hmm. So the last little bit that I wanted to mention, I think it was the last week or was the week before when we talked about the Constitutional Sheriffs Association, whatever the fuck they're called.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I think it was today or the other day, July 2nd, July 3rd, whatever. A Clay County Sheriff in Florida released this 3-minute LARPy ass fucking video where he and his fucking deputies lined up in a big line behind him. And I honestly thought the video was like a standstill picture, like a slideshow picture show, you know? But actually it was just like the camera slowly zooming in on the guy talking, like, cause no one was fucking moving. I thought it was just like a boomer. Anyways, he basically warned Antifa / Black Lives Matter that he would consider deputizing every lawful gun owner in Clay County, Florida, if peaceful protests turned into violent protests in his jurisdiction. Yeah.
So just creating a fucking posse, a fucking anti-posse.
Pretty much. It's just like, you know,
get in the back of the truck, boys. We're going to go collect some anti-fascists today.
Get some more scalps for the wall.
For fuck's sake.
It's insane. It's just such a pathetic, like, demonstration and performance of, like, oh, I love the Constitution more than you do, boy.
The Constitution. I know more than you do.
Yeah.
Can you name any amendment outside of the second?
Yeah, right? Probably couldn't even do the full of the first. If yeah, you really pressed to it.
Probably not.
The concerning thing to me is the fucking, again, this Constitutional Sheriffs organization that has over 500 members. Clay County in particular has had a history of KKK, like official KKK activity. In the county seat city of, what is it, Green Cove Springs. Now, I wasn't able to find out if it was still active. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But I looked at the demographics. It's like 75% white and like over 50% Republican and then like 25 Democrat, 25 Independent, something like that. So basically, you know, all Republican and conservative, if we're being honest. And it's just, and I also wasn't able to verify if this sheriff, lead sheriff, was part of the Constitutional Sheriff's Organization. But the rhetoric sounds basically the same, honestly. Yeah,
the rhetoric of deputizing every lawful gun owner. So what happens if gun owner that's a liberal or a lawful gun owner that is a Marxist, are they going to deputize them too?
Or someone who's a member of the fucking SRA? Like,
yeah.
Probably not.
Or somebody that's in a John Brown club.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy. Like, the likelihood of the people being there is probably a little smaller, but it's possible.
It is possible.
Did not think that one through, did you, Mr. Sheriff Man?
Well, then they're just gonna like justify it through other means, because like the big thing about this fucking organization is that like the sheriff has all the law of the land, and they can just ignore federal and state laws, because the sheriff is just like the county level sheriff is like the ultimate authority of everything. So they could, you know, in their mind anyways, they could technically say that, oh no, if you're like a leftist, then fuck you. If you're a liberal, fuck you. We only want QAnon supporters in here.
Yeah, we only want QAnon supporters. We're gathering for the storm, bitches.
That's right. The storm of the Great Awakening.
The Great Awakening. Yeah, fucking goddamn it. we really do. I like... There's just so much. so much, but I'm just, you know, nothing shocks me anymore. Every week I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll be shocked this week. And then I'm just like, no, this is on par with everything that's at. Like, I think the only thing that's going to make me just go, well, shit, it can't possibly get any worse is when the aliens invade. But hey.
But at that point, I would be welcoming them. I would welcome our new alien overlords because that would be so much better than Trump.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's better.
Maybe they figured out some way to get, like, I don't know. Maybe they figured out some solution that's not, you know, Marxism or capitalism or whatever. Maybe they've embraced decentralization. If that's the case, I'm down. I mean, like, take me with you.
Hell yeah. Anarchist aliens, fuck yeah.
Anarchist aliens, fuck yeah, I'm down. But I think anarchist aliens is a good place to wrap.
That is an excellent place to wrap. If you enjoyed listening, check us out on Twitter, check out our website americanshakedown.com and all the other podcast avenues. I always forget all of them. I think we're still on iTunes.
Yeah, we're on
Apple
iTunes,
Store, Spotify.
We're on all the major ones. We are on the major, any of them that you use, please subscribe and follow and give find the show.
Yep. And thanks for listening and stay safe. Also, it's 4th of July. I completely forgot about that. This is going to be released probably the day before or whatever. Anyways, yeah, happy Independence /Happy Oppression Day.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Have fun.